Turn, if you will, this morning in your Bibles to chapter 14 of the book of Romans. Chapter 14, starting with verse 7. Man, I want to say something to you this morning. You are a blessing. Church, you're a blessing. I tell you, I think we've got the greatest church this side of heaven. I know we've got a beautiful choir to sing that. If that didn't touch your heart, nothing will. I think we've got the best organist and the best pianist this side of the country. No brag, I think that's just fact. Both of y'all do a tremendous job. I know they practice. It don't come easy. You don't play like that just sitting down there. They practice every week. I come up here on Tuesday night. There was Jason up here. I know it had to be close to 8:30 with the praise band in the gym working for that song, I'm sure. I thank you, young people, for the hard work you do. And I don't know about y'all, but I just love Jesus. I love Jesus so much. He's been so good to me. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve a church like this. I don't even deserve to get up here in this pulpit and preach the word, but I love you. I want you kids. I call you kids. The older I get, the younger y'all look. I love you. Miss Mary, I love you, and I love all of this row. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be there with Jesus for all eternity. That's the greatest gift he can give you. You've got a choice this morning to live for him. I want you to live for him. You here, I love you, and Jesus loves you. And he don't want any of you to die without him. This pew over here, all of these, man, same thing. You have an opportunity to live for Jesus. Don't let it go by. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened. You know, in this group over here, I love y'all. If you're there this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, don't just come to church. Really worship God. You know, he's just been so good to me. I just don't know how to describe how good he's been. But in this passage of Scripture, I was reading this week, and it just says, you are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. Look at verse 7. For none of us lives to himself. None of us lives to himself. And no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live what? To the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ died and rose and lives again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord. When I read that passage of Scripture, I thought, man, that is such a passage of Scripture. So simple. Such a simple. You know, Jesus, it says, is Lord. He is Lord. I did not make him Lord of my life. He was Lord of my life. You see? I chose to live for him and surrender my life to him. And he came, you know, he came to die for me. While I was a sinner, he died for me, the Bible says. And man, that's just a simple truth. If you're here this morning and you don't know him, he's Lord. He died for you. And he wants you to accept the fact that he is Lord of your life. You see, we need to acknowledge him. We can rebel against Him and refuse to acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior. Or we can yield our lives to Him and say, Lord, here's my life. Take it, use it for Your glory. You know, because I'm going to die one day. I am going to die. I wish I could live on, but you know what? I can't live but a certain number of days here on this earth. And I'm going to die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. But then it says, and then the judgment. Now, I want you to understand something. It's a simple truth. You're either the Lord's in a Christian, as a Christian, you surrender your life to Him, or you live, He died for you, you refuse to accept Him, and you'll die, just like I will. But instead of having eternal life with Jesus Christ, you'll go to an eternal punishment. Now that's the simple truth. God made it real understandable in the Bible. We're all God's people. We're creation. He created us all. He gave us a choice. He doesn't want to force Himself on us. He said, here's my Son. He died for you. You either accept that and have eternal life in Him, or you refuse to acknowledge that, and you're going to live even after you die, but you'll spend an eternity in an eternal place. The Bible calls hell. A place that no one wants to go. But yet, in our own choice, many times, we choose to live our own life. You see, we are the Lord's. He created us. Now, I want you to know, when I was 21 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I realized that I was lost. I realized that He died for me, and I said, Lord, I want You to live in my life. And you know, like Brother Richard said to this young man, all eternity changed for me when I said yes to Him. No longer was I going to hell. Now I was going to heaven. I will die as a human, as a physical death, but my spirit will live on. And the Bible says in the Word of God, one day this old body will come up and I'll have a new body. And I'll live for all eternity in heaven. Folks, heaven is not a dream in the sky. It is a reality. There is a place called heaven. God said it's there. It's there. Everything He says in the book, the Bible, is true. It's all coming to play out just like the Bible says it will. As we live in this day and time, I can see it drawing closer and closer in the book of Revelation where He ends up. And I don't want to die and go to a place called hell. I want You to live forever with Me. You see, in all eternity. I love being here on Sunday morning with you. I love being around you. Some of you I do things with. We do a lot of things during the week. I don't know how I get all of it in there, but we do. And, you know, I enjoy being with you. And I would hate to know that I couldn't spend an eternity with you. See, Jesus says we are His. And we live in a culture today that we have rejected the whole matter of responsibility and want to blame it on somebody else. And somebody says, well, Satan made me do this, Satan made me do that. He might have tempted you with it, but that old sin nature lets you do it. That old you made a choice to do it. And the Bible says, if we trust Jesus Christ, we repent of those sins, and we start living for God, and I am responsible in life to the Lord that I serve, which is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, I belong to Him. In every area of my life, I am responsible to Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about that? I'm responsible to Jesus Christ. I am the Lord's, it says. You are the Lord's. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord. You know what? Jesus is my unseen guest everywhere I go. He's right there with me. You know? Jesus listens to every thought I think and every word I say. He's right there with me, you see. Jesus Christ is there giving me wisdom when I need wisdom to make the decisions. I need Jesus in my life. I can't live without him. I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my family. You see, you need him in your life. You need him in your family. You need him in your home. We need Jesus Christ in our home. I pray, man, I've got a responsibility, an awesome responsibility, not only as a pastor of this church, but I've got an awesome responsibility in my family. Because my wife and my children, my grandchildren now, you see, when I think of that, I say, oh, Lord, I know I've got a responsibility. Just let me live for you. Let you be so real in my life. In this church, man, you know, if you will realize that Jesus Christ is the listener, Jesus Christ is with you, it makes things very easy when you get that concept in your mind. Okay, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I don't belong to myself anymore. The Bible says when we are saved, we die to ourselves. We live for Christ. I'm a new creature. You know, on Sunday morning, I don't have to make a decision. If Christ is here, I'm just going to go to church because that's where he wants me to go. That's no decision. I don't have to make that anymore. I'm so glad I was relieved of that a long time ago. Man, on Sunday, he says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I'm going to be here. I'm going to keep it holy. You know, I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to say something ugly or something, do something ugly, because I'm not going to do it because I've given my life totally to Jesus Christ. I don't even have to worry about giving to these offerings. He says in the Word of God, you're to tithe, like Brother Bill says, give the whole tithe. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm just going to do what God says and give it. I know he's going to take care of me. You see? Man, don't that relieve a lot of the stress in life when you know that whatever you're going to do, you're living for the Lord and you're just going to do it because he's inside of you? That's what it says. We are the Lord's. Let me ask you a question and then we'll move on. Who's on the throne of your life today? You see, that's where it's at. Are you still trying to rule things in your own heart when you've really surrendered it to the Lord? If you are, you haven't really surrendered it, then have you? That's an easy question, isn't it? You are responsible as a Christian today to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that song, Now I Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. You see, we belong to the Lord. Your life belongs to the Lord. He gave you life. Won't you accept him as your Lord and Savior? So you belong to him in life. And then it says, you belong to him in death. Whether you live, you are the Lord's. And whether you die, you are the Lord's. Now, I said a while ago, the believer, death is not the end. Man, someone said, well, earlier this morning, someone was going to die, and I wasn't going to die, they're going to live forever. And I said, no, they're going to die physically. But spiritually, we're going to live forever. You see, this life is not, this is just the beginning of life. That's the way I look at it. You know, here it is. When I'm born again as a Christian, I got all eternity to live. Man, I'm glad that I'm going to live all eternity. And this old body's growing old. This old body's wearing out. Things are not near as fun as they used to be. I used to love to climb trees, get up around them trees, and jump from one limb to the other. We've had a tree. We played around the world in it. Big old mimosa tree. It had big limbs going everywhere. And the boys all would get up in that tree and get out as far as they could. And we had a route. And we had jumped from one limb to the other. Climb on, jump, grab hold like monkeys. If you fell, you only fell about, of course, it looked like a mile when you're short, when you're a kid, but it was only about 12 feet. And, you know, you couldn't do nothing but break a back or a leg. And you wasn't worried about that as a kid, were you? You never thought about that as a kid. You didn't worry about climbing to the top of a ladder and jumping off. But I think about it today. I don't even jump off of that today because it shakes everything up. But you know what? One day the Bible says I'll have a new body that won't wear out, won't get hurt and stuff like that. When a believer dies, we just change places, existence, and go to an eternal home. The Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I know that I've got one there. I know that. If my name's on the door, and folks, I want you to have your name on the door too in heaven. And when a believer dies, we're immediately in the presence of the Lord, for the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I don't know how it all works, but I know one thing. This old spirit, what's really me, what makes me Boonie, what's really me inside, the Bible says that spirit goes to be with God immediately. Now, this old body, this old tent, the tabernacle that the spirit exists, it's just clay and dust. It's going to rot. It's going to be down in a grave somewhere or burned or whatever Rhonda wants to do with it. You know, I really don't care. But I know one thing. I'll have a new body one day, for the Bible says that, and I believe it. You see, that's simple truth. And the Bible says if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are precious. For it says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, I'm precious in death. I'm going to be there. All heaven's going to welcome us when we get home. The angels are going to sing. Oh, I could just close my eyes and hear the music and think, man, that's what heaven's going to be like, but just on a little grander scale. As we sing that praise song a while ago, Messiah. I just thought to myself, Lord, if you could come this morning, it would sure help me out. Wouldn't have to preach. That's the simple truth in it. Now, I'm not going to dwell on hell this morning. If you don't belong to the Lord, that's where you're going to go. Not because God sent you there, because you chose to go there. You rejected his son, and his son is the only way for salvation. Now, let me tell you something else. It's a sensible truth, not a simple truth, but a sensible truth. Look at verse 9. To this end, Christ both died, rose, and revived that he might be with, and went up to be with the Lord in the air. It's saying this: Christ died, he arose, and he lives. You know that? It makes sense then, if Christ is the foundation, he is that first fruits of those who believe. If Christ died, he was buried and rose again, and he still lives. Man, let me tell you something. Don't you want to do that? One day I'm going to die, but I know the Bible says the Spirit will go be with the Lord. I'm going to live again. That's a sensible thing to do. Not only that, the Bible says Christ died for you. You know, Adam and Eve sold us into bondage. Adam and Eve sold us into slavery. Adam and Eve sinned, and by that old sin nature, we're born into sin. And we're sinners, I've said, by choice. We choose to sin. Nobody makes us do that. You can't blame anybody for it. It's just part of life. We're sinners, the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And since we can't save ourselves, God so loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come to the earth. You know, he left the splendor of glory to come down here. That's how much he loved you. He was abused, he was whipped, he was died on the cross just for you. And it makes sense to accept him as the Lord and Savior, don't it? Since he was willing to do all that for us. The Bible says he died according to the Scriptures and he rose according to the Scriptures and he lives forevermore. Now, folks, I want to live forever with Jesus Christ. He went to the old rugged cross for me. He paid the price. That's redemption. He bought us back. He purchased us back. So why not give our lives to him? You know what? Some people say, well, if I give my life to Christ, then I'm going to have to serve him. Well, yeah, you are. But you know what? In service, good. In service, great. You know, I wondered one time, I said, what are you going to call me to do, Lord? I was up there when I was in North Dakota. I was surrendered to preach, and I said, Lord, sure you're not going to make me a preacher up here in this cold country. And then he said, why do you care if I surrendered your life to me, why would you care where you preach? And you know it doesn't make any difference. If God calls me to be a missionary, which he called one of our sons to be a missionary, he's happy as a lark. And you're going to be happy serving God if you've given your life to him. You know, he's not going to make you miserable. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And whether he calls you to be a missionary in a foreign country, you're going to be happy. I read about in our Texas paper, a 55-year-old lady was killed, one of our missionaries. She's gone. But I guarantee you, if you ask her today in heaven, you see, she's there. If you ask her today in heaven, if she regretted any moment of being a missionary for God, she would say, absolutely not. I'm just where I wanted God wanted me to be, and I'm happy in Jesus Christ. You see, that's what life's all about, being happy in Jesus Christ. If he calls you to be a preacher, well, praise God. Hey, man, you know, I get paid for preaching. Isn't that wonderful? I get paid to do something that I wanted to do all my life. I'm happy in Jesus and getting paid for it. I love to study his word. I love to preach. I love to minister to people. Brother Teddy gets paid for leasing music and singing. You say, well, I just don't know if I could be called to be a music director or a preacher. Well, if God calls you, you can. And he's going to bless you. I don't care if he puts you out in the middle of the sticks out there in Recklaw, Texas. He's going to bless you. You see? Some of you don't know where Recklaw's at, but that's where I was at yesterday. That's where I'll be tonight. You see, the Lord is good to you. He doesn't want to burden you down in life. He said, listen, I'm going to make your life so that you'll really enjoy it if you'll just surrender to me. Maybe he'll make you a teacher. Everybody likes teaching. Maybe he'll make you a minister to the adults. Maybe he'll make you come to church and just enjoy worshiping God. You see? What's so miserable about that? Having to listen to a preacher? Man, if you love God, it doesn't matter who preaches. You're just going to enjoy his word. You see, I could get up here and someone said a preacher one time could get up and quote, Mary had a little lamb. And the Holy Spirit was so on that preacher, people would get saved. That's what it's all about, letting the Holy Spirit just shine upon your life and you being filled with the Holy Spirit, that the person next to you just catches a glimpse of heaven in your eyes and in your life. And you sit there and you just praise God and you don't say anything negative about the music. You don't say anything negative about the piano playing. You don't say anything negative about the preacher because you just love God. And folks, that's what a Christian is all about, just loving God. Because you remember, you are responsible. And you are the Lord's, that's the simple truth. Everything about you ought to be for God. You see, lordship means that I'm taking my hands off of my life and giving the Lord. He can do anything he wants to with my life. And I'm going to be happy with it because I'm the Lord's. You see, he rose. He lives forever. You know, Jesus Christ not only died, the Bible said he arose. God accepted that payment. You see, there had to be a payment for sin. We all sinned. We all deserve eternal punishment. God says, I can't let people die in their lostness. I've got to give them, I've got to make a way of escape. And he said, I know what? I'm going to send my son to die for them. I'm going to send him down there to earth, and he's going to die. He's going to die on the cross. You see, the cross was priority in Jesus' life. I'm going to preach that in a Sunday or two from now. The cross is a priority in Jesus' life. It was before the foundation, before God even, you know, he didn't plan this thing and work it out as it went along. No, God had a plan from eternity past. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son down there to die on that old rugged cross. That if people would put their faith in him and look to him, they would be healed. Their sin would be blotted out. They would be redeemed. They would be brought back, folks. And when you receive Christ as Savior, he comes to live within your life. He's alive and well in me. How about you? Does he live in your life? He doesn't just want you to be present. or be present in your life. He wants to be preeminent in your life. That means he wants to be in charge of your life. You belong to the Lord's. And if we really believe that truth, then everywhere we go, whatever we do will be for Jesus Christ. I've started trying to just tell everybody about Jesus. I don't care who they are. Got to talk to the mayor this week. I just said, "Mayor, I want to hear your testimony." Went out to play golf with a guy the other day. I didn't know him that well. I met him one time before. He cussed like a sailor, and you know, he told me he was a Christian. I just don't work together, you know. And I said, "You are. What happened?" I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "Jim, you're always welcome to our church. But you say you're a Christian. Let me hear your testimony." He told me his testimony. He didn't cuss anymore. You see, he realized, I believe, that if he belonged to God, he shouldn't be using those kind of words. And if you belong to God, folks, you don't go to those places. You don't do those things. You focus on Jesus Christ. Oh, he told me about a bad experience he had in church. And I said, "I understand that." You see, I understand that people come to church and look, his pastor failed him. But I said, you know, you're looking at the wrong thing. You were looking at a pastor. You ought to be focusing on Jesus. Jesus didn't fail you. That pastor is just human like you are. And if you look, if Jesus looked down and you used that foul language, he'd say, "You failed me." You see? But if you focus on Jesus, he'll never fail you. Now listen, are you failing Jesus Christ this morning by the life you're living? One of my favorite verses and my wife's favorite verses, I think it's on the icebox, Galatians 2:20. It's her favorite verse, I believe. "I am crucified with Christ." That means you've been nailed on the cross with Jesus Christ. When he was crucified, when you gave your life to him, you were crucified with him. "Nevertheless," it says, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Now, folks, that's a favorite verse. "And the life which I now live in the flesh," right now, "I live by" what? "Faith." Trust in Jesus Christ. Faith is seeing and believing a thing even that you can't see, even if you can't see it. Believing a thing is so when it's not so, so that it will be so. Now, folks, "I live by faith in the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me." I belong to God. Now, folks, that is a simple truth, and it's a sensible truth. Jesus is Lord. Let him this morning run things in your life. You know, people tell me all the time, "Preacher, I'm just having a whole lot of problem trying to get everything straight." Listen, you're never going to get everything straight. This is an imperfect world. We're imperfect people. Just say, "Okay, God, I can't do it on my own. I'm just going to let you live through me." He takes those imperfections and he makes them perfected. He takes those little worries that we worry about. You can't change things. Why worry about it? Just turn it over to God. And let me tell you, it's not only a sensible truth here, we are the Lord's, a sensible truth, you ought to give your life to him, live for him because he died for you and rose and he lives eternity, but a solemn truth. There's a solemn truth in verse 10. Listen to what it says, and then we'll close and have the Lord's Supper. "But why do you judge, brother? Or why do you show yourself contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that's a solemn truth, isn't it? You're going to stand one day before God as a Christian at the judgment seat. This is not the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgments where people will be cast into the lake of fire. These are saved people. When the rapture comes, or when you die and you go to be with the Lord, one day you're going to stand before God, and the Bible says you shall stand and give an account to Christ for what you did with Him. Many years ago now, it seemed like an eternity, but it's only been in my lifetime. President Nixon, he was really dumb. He recorded everything on tapes that he did. Can y'all believe that? He didn't think it would ever get out. But let me tell you, I bet he wished 1,000 times he had erased those tapes. Now, you know what? A tape player is playing. God is recording your life. Everything you do, every word you say, every thought you think, God knows it. And everything you should do and you're not doing, God knows it. Now that's a solemn truth, isn't it? Because one day you're going to stand before a holy God and give an account for every idle thing, a word or deed you've done. Now, folks, when I get to thinking about that, I say, Lord, would you please erase that tape? Forgive me. I blundered it so much. You think back on your words last week. Don't you wish last week could be re-erased? Ask God to forgive it. Ask God to cleanse it. He will. Did you say anything that you wouldn't want Jesus to know? He already knows it. You need to ask Him forgiveness for it. You done something? Or you didn't do something that you should do? Sins of omission and commission? Get out on your knees before God and say, Lord, I have failed. He said, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then He says, you know, every tongue is going to have to confess to Jesus Christ that He's Lord. The question is not, will you acknowledge Jesus as Lord of your life? The question is, when will you acknowledge Him as Lord of your life? Why not now? Why not now? You're going to have an opportunity to come to the front in just a moment. I'm going to give an invitation. Listen, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be coming right now. You ought to come down to the aisle and say, Preacher, I want to accept Jesus Christ. I don't know what it's all about, but I know I don't want to spend an eternity in hell. I know I'm a sinner, and I want Jesus to forgive me. I'll be glad to share. Brother Jay will be glad to share. Brother Bill will be glad to share. Teddy will be glad to share. We'll share with you about salvation. And Brother Richard, I don't want to leave any of my staff out. You can come to Christ, and then you can turn your life around and start living for Him. If you're a Christian here this morning, the Bible says we're going to take the Lord's Supper in a moment. We're going to take the bread, His body, in remembrance of what He's done for us, dying on the cross for us, the juice as His blood shed for us. We remember that in our mind, and every time we think about it, the Bible says we ought to do it with a clean heart. And as a Christian, the Bible says we need to get right with God before we do that. And that means that we need to get on our knees before God right now and say, Lord, this last week I've spoken ill words to my wife or my daughter or my son or my neighbor. God, I forgot who I was supposed to be living for. Would you forgive me? And get that right before God before you take of the Lord's Supper. Would you do that? Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home. It's not too late. You just come to me and I'll be glad to share with you how you can join in with this fellowship. Let's do that before we take of the Lord's Supper so that we'll be right with God. Now listen, I don't want you young people, I don't want you young people or adults to die and miss eternity. I want you to be in heaven. I want you to realize you're to live every day for God. But you have to make that choice. I can't make it for you. Would you come this morning? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the people that you brought here this morning. Lord, I don't know who all they are, but Lord, I know one thing. They wouldn't be here unless you led them here. And God, I pray this morning, before we have the Lord's Supper, we'll get our lives right before you. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.